We all know that today is Mother's Day. And so how wonderful it is that we are able to come to church to celebrate not only the love which we have received from God through our own human mother, but also to celebrate the love which we have received from God through our spiritual mother, the church. Because in calling the church our mother, we see the great exalted vocation which is motherhood. Here in the sanctuary we have during this month of May, the statue of Mary, our mother, who embodies in herself all that is holy, all that is good of the church, all that we who are human strive and want to be. Because truly, motherhood is an exalted vocation. Motherhood is higher than other tasks of life. While the world may try to tell women, go and do something important with your life, God says, what is important is sitting with you, staring across the table from you, looking into your eyes, being held in the lap of love. Because in God's eyes, there is no greater vocation than to love. And does not the vocation of motherhood, the vocation of all parents, involve loving? The vocation of motherhood is thus higher than the vocation or the task of being a teacher. Consider, why does the task of being a teacher exist? Teachers exist to assist parents in teaching their children. The vocation of being a teacher serves the vocation of parents. What about maybe the task of being a doctor? Why do we have doctors other than to serve families? The task of being a doctor may pay more than being a parent, but it exists solely to serve parents and their families. What about other important positions such as governor, secretary of state, speaker of the house, even president? Are they more important than a parent? Again, what is the purpose of government? To commend those who do right and to punish those who do wrong is the purpose of governments. In other words, governments exist to protect and defend families. Governments exist to serve parents, to pass policies which will enable mothers and fathers to live out their vocation more fully. Governments exist to serve the vocation of parents. Governments exist to serve mothers. We hopefully can see then any task that is out there in the world, there of all those tasks, there is none more important. Nothing to which God would call someone that could be higher than to that vocation of loving, which is most often manifested in that vocation of being a parent. Even folks who aren't parents or who have already raised their children and now are empty nesters, even those people can continue to live out that vocation of parents, can still live out that vocation of motherhood, regardless of whether or not the woman has natural born children of her own, by serving, by loving those around them, by serving their children. Be those children those that God has blessed them with naturally, be they children which they have adopted, be they children who happen to be nieces, cousins, friends. Every woman is called to the vocation of motherhood. And that is her highest calling. G.K. Chesterton, one of my more favorite authors, he spoke about the problem in his book called What's Wrong with the World. He spoke about what's wrong with the world's understanding of motherhood, saying that it is not a worthy life work. And so if I could quote him a little bit at length, he says, how can it be a large career to tell other people's children about the rules of mathematics and a small career to tell one's own children about the universe? How can it be broad to tell the same thing to everyone and narrow to be everything to someone. No, a woman's function is laborious, but because it is gigantic, not because it is minute. I will pity Mrs. Jones for the hugeness of her task. I will never pity her for its smallness. Consider, what is the task of mothers? As I consider my own mother, I would think the many hats that she wears, she would be chef, dietitian, nurse, philosopher, cosmologist, mathematician, physician, lawyer, judge, spiritual director, moral compass, teacher, home decorator, teacher of manners. She would be the model of temperance and of modesty, life coach, personal manager, home organizer, chauffeur, referee, head janitor, judge, jury, executioner sometimes even, image of the church, example of faithfulness, example of respect to her husband. In short, is not the task of mother to be everything to her children? Is not the task of mother to be the shaper of her children's souls for time, but more importantly for eternity? Her calling along with fatherhood is thus the greatest and highest vocation. I remember as a little boy, my mother kept this quote always paper-clipped to her calendar, and every month she'd have to reattach it. It was a beautiful quote by Joseph Cardinal Mindszenty, who, if you all remember, was a Hungarian prelate who was really persecuted during the time of Soviet persecution. He retired in 1974, so he's just of the previous generation. And he wrote about mothers: the most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She need not. She has built something more magnificent than any cathedral, a dwelling for an immortal soul, the tiny perfection of her baby's body. The angels have not been blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God the Creator than any other creature. God joins forces with mothers in performing this act of creation. And he closes with the question, what on God's good earth is more glorious than this? To be a mother. On this Mother's Day, I think there could be no better words than those of Jesus in today's gospel, which invite us to love one another. He turns that conversation which we had last week about being fruitful on the vine to that focus on really relationship, our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. And he tells us that we must love each other in the same way that God the Father loves God the Son, in the same way that Jesus, God the Son, has loved his disciples. He says, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. And love one another as I have loved you. Just as a mother's love is not about a mere feeling, but is a real love, a sacrificial love, so too the love with which God loves us is a real love, a sacrificial love. And he asks us to extend that same real sacrificial love to others. And so we find that at the heart of this gospel, which St. John summarizes as he says, God is love. The heart of the gospel is love, my brothers and sisters. We need to examine in our hearts what real love is. Because we tend to sentimentalize love. We tend to dress it up with lace and scrawl it on the inside of a Hallmark card. But on this Sunday, the gospel compels us to look deeper. Love is Christ's great message to his followers. It is his parting words, and that love is profound. As the Father has loved me, so I also love you. Think about the love that God the Father has for his Son. How deep and how eternal the love that God the Father loves his Son. In my theology classes, we would say that the love of the Father for the Son and the love of the Son for the Father is so complete, so perfect a love, that it is a person. The love is the Holy Spirit. And that same love, that love of the Father for the Son, the love of the Son for the Father, is extended by Jesus to all of us. He loves us with the love of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that the amazement that Peter had in that first reading? He looked around at these Gentiles and he said, how can we not love these Gentiles when God has given them the same Holy Spirit which he has given to us? He loves them with that same Holy Spirit with which he loves his Son. How then can we, Jewish Christians, not love these Gentile Christians? My brothers and sisters, the question for each and every one of us is, how can we not love every human being with that same love which we have received from Almighty God? And when that we question that love, we look, it must be a sacrificial love, a love that bears wrongs patiently, a love that is patient, a love that is pure, a love that is rooted in the truth, a love that forgives sins. Despite our differences, we are to love one another. Despite the hurt that someone has caused us, we are to love one another. Despite the angers that we are nursing, the grudges which we hold, we are to love one another. This is the great summary of Christ's work. It appears in today's gospel, right before Jesus begins his journey to the cross. We read it today as we prepare for the ascension, which in our diocese, we're going to push from Thursday to the following Sunday. But the church is underscoring how vitally important this great message of Jesus remains. It serves to remind each and every one of us of the great work which remains for us to do. The great work of Christian love. Of literally loving like Christ. It is giving when we know that we'll get nothing back. It is sacrificing when we know that there's nothing personally to be gained. It's making the sacrifice of the altar, uniting our lives to that sacrifice. Is this not the love that mothers demonstrate to all of us? Is this not the love that Holy Mother Church demonstrates for us each Sunday, each day? Presenting once again to our Heavenly Father the sacrifice of His Son, and inviting all of us to join our small lives with that great love. My brothers and sisters, on this Mother's Day, let us thank our mothers for modeling for us what love is. And let us commit ourselves to being instruments of that same love for all of our brothers and sisters, loving them with the very love with which Christ loves us.